So I want to read the translation of Vishnu Chakravarti's wonderful Ashtakam. He was living here at Shamakund. His Bhajan Kutir is there next to Raghunath Das Goswami. He lived here in Shamakund in the 1700s, from 1700 to 1750. It was about 40 or 50 years after Das Goswami left this world, maybe even longer, but it was afterwards, a different time period. And he was taking shelter of Govardhan Hill. He was worshipping at Govardhan Shila. My memory serves me right, I believe he was worshipping the same Shila that Raghunath Das was worshipping. The Govardhan Shila that Raghunath Das was worshipping was given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received that Govardhan Shila from Sri Shankaranya, Shankararanya, Bhuvan Sannyasi, who had come to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya worshipped that Shila, Govardhan Shila in Puri, for 3 years. And being pleased with the renunciation and surrender of Raghunath Das, he gave him that Shila, Govardhan Shila, to worship. Then it came into the hands of Sri Haridas Pandit. And then it came into the hands of maybe Krishna Priya Thakurani. One lady was worshipping the deity. And then over time it came to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Now that Govardhan Shila, at least learned authorities, of historians, Gaudiya historians, say that have no, they're non-sectarian, so to speak. They say that that Govardhan Shila is residing in Bhagavat Nivas. Bhagavat Nivas is a place where mostly sadhus live. It's on the right-hand side of the street, past ISKCON, before you get the Sital Chai. It's kind of right after Gauranga Das Baba's ashram. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to see that Shila. But they say this is the original Shila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what all the Gaudiya historians say, but those people that are in the Gokulananda Mandir, which is near Radharaman, they have some small square Shila with a fingerprint in it, and they claim that this is the Govardhan Shila. You might be knowing that in these historical things, there's always two. One's new and one's old. Sometimes there's even two old ones. There's Vallabhacharya's Prachin Gokul, which is across the Jumna River from Mathura. Then you go a little bit further beyond his Vallabhacharya's Prachin Gokul. Then there's another Prachin Gokul. They're both old. But one is older old than the other one. And if you go, there's the Birla Janmastan, built by Birla. And you go behind there about 800 meters, then there's Prachin Janmastan of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, which is much older. Very old kund there, it's about 400 years old. It's called Potra Kund. And that's where they say that he was born there. And if you go to Mayapur, there's Mayapur, the Gaudiya Matha is there. Mayapur, the Janamstan, Yogapit, Janamstan of Mahaprabhu. Then you cross the river to Navadvip, and then they also have the Prachin Janamstan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I've seen. And there are many hundreds of Gaudiya Vaishnavas believe that that's the one. So when it gets down to it, it's whatever you believe, that's what counts. Right, wrong, left, right, or center, belief is everything. Faith is everything. Very interesting discussion in itself. But at any rate, I'll read the translation, because he has a bishtam. Well, everyone has a bishtam, but that desire, but his desire is only one, is to get the darshan of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Well, he has different desires, but they're all spiritual. Krishna prasadena samasta shaila. He says, may Govardhan Hill, why is he praying to Govardhan Hill? Because he's worshipping Govardhan. And that's his Ishtadev. So we are meant to, you see in Nectar Devotion, devotees are supposed to reveal their mind to the deity. They are supposed to offer prayers to the deity. They are supposed to serve the deity and remember the deity. There are many 64 limbs of devotion mentioned in Nectar Devotion. And these are some of them. There's a whole series of them are related specifically to deity or Murti Seva. Always remember the deity. Offer your service to the deity. Reveal your mind to the deity. Offer prayers to the deity. Maybe you've seen these in a list of 64 limbs. So he's praying to Govardhan because he has no one else. He can't pray to his wife or his father, mother, or his rich grandfather, because he's Niskinshan Sadhu. He's living alone, doing bhajan. So he's Sharanagati. He's a Sharanagata Vaishnava. Completely sheltered and surrendered and dependent. Sheltered, surrendered, and dependent on the Krishna Kripa, Vaishnava Kripa, the mercy of Krishna, mercy of God and his devotees. Devotees means God, God's agents. So basically he's dependent on the mercy of God. So he's petitioning, oh, I have a desire, Govardhan. And you are a very special personality because you're not just one person I'm asking. I'm asking, you're two in one. You're Bhakta and you're Bhagavan. You're Haridas Varya. You're, as the gopis say, Radharani says in Gopi Gita, I suppose. Chapter 31 of the 10th canto, Krishna's smiling face. Radharani is glorious. She's looking at Govardhan and she's appreciating, wow. This is the pure-hearted, non-envious Vaishnava. He looks at another Vaishnava and appreciates. Oh, she's rendering such wonderful service. He's rendering such wonderful service. And he doesn't say that, but he knows it. He says she's doing this, and she's doing this, and that, and she can make a list. This is the loving heart. But the envious heart says, oh, you're doing all bad. You're doing this thing bad, and that thing bad, and this thing bad. The envious scorpion heart, or vrishchik, scorpion, Vrishchik Vridhi, scorpion heart, will only bite another person. But they will appreciate. So Radharani was looking at Giriraj and appreciating, oh, Haridas, you're Haridas Varya. You're the best Varya. You're the best, the greatest of all the Haridases. You're better than Haridas Yudhisthira. And you're better than Haridas Uddhav Mahashaya. You're much better. You're the Varya. You're the supreme servant of Hari. I'm also Haridasi. That's another name for Radharani. Haridasi. She's a servant of Hari, Krishna Dasi. And she's Krishna Mayi. She's made of Krishna. She's full of Krishna, saturated with Krishna, Krishna Mayi, Radharani. But she is glorifying Govardhan. You serve Hari in so many wonderful ways, and she recounts them there, and the tikkas are also expanding. But she's appreciating Govardhan. So great devotees have Kripa. Kripa Shakti, they have mercy, the energy, the power of mercy, ashirvad, blessings, by their purity, by their honesty. You develop power by being honest for 12 years. If you never speak a lie for 12 years, of course, we don't find too many women with this power. It's very hard for them to not tell a lie for 12 years. 12 days? 12 hours. Would you believe 12 minutes. It's not their fault, it's the circumstance. It's just that, like, I took the money from my husband's wallet, I needed it for some housework, and when he asked me, did you take some money from my wallet? Oh no, you're missing something. I didn't see it. So it goes like this, and it becomes so, like, ordinary, they don't even know which is right and wrong, or truth, or falsity becomes truth, and truth becomes unknown. At any rate, so this is one way to get power. So the devotees have great power, so Radharani's appreciating the service, and so he's praying, oh, Haridas, Vishnu is praying, oh, Govardhan, please fulfill my desire. Because either way, I win either way. If I pray to you as a devotee, you have so much power. But then you're also, that's if you're Bhakta Roop. But if I see you as Bhagavan Roop, that you're Giridhari, you're Krishna, Giridhari, lifter of Govardhan, you're non-different. One pebble from Govardhan, or the entire eight yojans long and two yojans wide and four yojans high, or whatever is the vast size of Govardhan in those days. Garga Samhita is recounting. If you're Bhagavan, then Bhagavan has Ananta Rupam, Ananta Shakti, unlimited powers. Sarvasya Shakti Vavadaya Shriyate, Svavagyana Gyana Balikriyacha. Yes, Prasya Shakti has unlimited powers. Not just Kripa Shakti, even the Bhakta has a Kripa Shakti, but Krishna has all Shakti. So either way, if I pray to you as Bhagavan, then I will surely get my desire fulfilled. If I petition you as Bhakta, then I also have a chance to have the realization of my aspiration. So it's quite appropriate, his prayer. It's an abhishtam. It's basically an abhishtam. It's an abhishtam prarthana. A prayer full of desire. May Govardhan Hill fulfill my deepest desire. What is that deepest desire? to get darshan of Radha and Krishna's Leelas. By Sri Krishna's mercy, Govardhan became the emperor of all mountains. Samraj, right? Shaila, Samasta Shaila. Shaila means mountain. Samasta means all. Samasta Shaila, Samraj. I think that's the same as Hindi. Samrat. You say Samrat means the emperor. So Samraj means all the Rajas together. Samasta Shaila, Samrajam. Shaila means mountains. He's all the mountains. He's Govardhan. He's Giri Raj. You heard this term? Have you heard this term? So Giri means mountain. Raj means king. So Sam Raj Yum. Because he's very yummy. Many Rajas are there, but they're not yummy Rajas. He's a Raj Yum. Yum yum. Yum yum. Govardhan's very tasty. He's very sweet. Madhurya Rupam. Madhurya Leelam. Madhurya Premam. Madhurya Namam. Madhurya Venam. So this is Giridhari. So he's some Raj Yum Yum. By Sri Krishna's mercy, Govardhan became the emperor of all mountains and received the offerings meant for Indra, despite Indra's enmity, which means his enviousness. Vairino. Vairino means envy. Vairino. Sakshat. Prapabalim Sakshat. Krishna Prasadina. He got all the Krishna's mercy by Krishna's Prasad. By Krishna Prasad, anything's possible. You can become an emperor by Krishna Prasad, right? Krishna Prasadena. Samasta Shaila Samrajyam. So Krishna Prasadena, Prasadena, that means it's Prasad is given to you. If Krishna gives his prasad, prasadena. If Krishna gives his mercy to you, you can become the king of kings, the emperor of emperors. Or you can become the best position you can get is das. Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor? Das. So this will be the greatest prasad to get this position, a seva position in the circle of Radharani's Manjris and Sakis. Anywhere, even in the banana patch, you see in the configuration of the yoga pit, or this Radhakund, there's the kunjas, and the kunjas are surrounded by some flower gardens and some vines, and then some flowering trees, and there's some fruit orchards. Then the last thing before the Jamuna, before the Yamuna waters, there's the banana patch, then the coconut trees. So we're going to be stuck out in the banana patch, in Radharani's banana patch. Yeah. You know, fighting Mata Mangal for bananas. Because Mata Mangal is always out there snatching bananas. You try to get a few away from him so he can make a banana smoothie for Radharani. After water sports, after Jalkeli, she may want a nice banana smoothie. Banana and blueberries and some wildflower honey and some fresh, because cinnamon trees are growing there, you just take the bark and grind up with some cinnamon powder and then blend it. There are so many blendies there, mixers. No, you just take a branch of a tree and put it inside the banana shake and say, mix, man. So like this. So this is the first thing. He's praying for mercy, darshan of Radha and Krishna. My deepest desire, may dishitam abhishtam. And then he says, feeling that softness of his dearmost Krishna's soft lotus hand when he's being held aloft by him, filled him with so much anand that he did not even notice Indra's thunderbolt striking his body. May that Govardhan fulfill my desire. So first verse he's praying for a darshan of Radha and Krishna's Leelas, and then he's praying that in his sadaka roop. His sadaka roop is Vishnu Chakravarti. And then while he's praying, because his prayer, it's like instantaneous. There's the lightning and the thunder. When the storm is over your head, you see the lightning and you hear the thunder. When the storm is right on top of your house, you know, shh, boom, and hold on, oh my God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it's that fast. He made his prayer, which was like the lightning, and the return, the response from Radha and Krishna was the thunder. It was instantaneous. So one verse in Sadaka Vesh, he's praying, oh, please, this is my Avishtam. And then suddenly he sees a Leela. So, oh, you want your deepest desires to see our Leela? Okay, see this Leela. You want to see this Leela? See the Giridhari Leela. And feel it and understand it. And how can he, how does he understand? Unless he's right there understanding. He must become Tanmay with Krishna's arm, with Krishna's feelings. And we must become Tanmay with the devotee. Because he's saying that, oh, I'm feeling how soft Krishna's hand is on my bottom here, on my Govardhan bottom. Krishna's like this, right? So how much of Krishna's hand was Giridhari feeling? How much of his hand? The tip of his finger. Bharati. Bharati means very intelligent. So is that even the hand? That's what we generally call the finger. Or anguli, hot and anguli. So he was feeling, Giridhari was just feeling this much of Krishna's pinky finger and feeling, oh, this is very soft. This is very pleasing. This is very satisfying. And that's the smallest of the fingers, which is the least surface area. Right? There's no smaller portion of the hand than the pinky. But what is the response? Feeling the softness of Krishna's soft lotus hand when he was being held aloft by him, he felt so much ananda that he didn't. That tip of Giridhari's finger, of Krishna's finger, was so soft and so blissful and so pleasurable. That much contact with Krishna. If Krishna just contacts you with three lines of his fingerprint, imagine three lines of one fingerprint, the pinky finger. How many fingerprints are there? Not many. Only a few little lines, little squiggles there. If you just feel a few squiggles of Krishna's fingerprint on your backside, or wherever that, whatever part of Giridhari that was, then you'll feel anand. Then if somebody comes and throws lightning bolts on your head, you won't even notice it. Now that's really immersion. And that's really immersion in the bliss. Lightning bolt is not like a feather tickler or something. It's not like a little feather tickling your back and you play with some feather. Lightning bolt is heavy stuff. You ever had one thrown at you? You want to try? You want to try? No. Anybody want a lightning bolt? Because they say that, the guru is softer than a rose. Harder than what?
Thunderbolt.
So be careful. And today a little soft, because too much prasad. Happy mood. Good time to ask for favors. Stuff your husband and ask for money. So it won't be too many thunderbolts now. It'll be more like, this, that, everything, take. So just see how much ananda. He didn't even notice Indra's thunderbolt striking his body. All over his body he was getting pinpricked with thunderbolts. Now you step on a tack. Oh, you step on one tack in your house from your office or something and you cry all day. But all over his back was getting thunderbolts and his arms and his face, everywhere his thunderbolts were throwing. And he's not feeling anything. So now he's in his Srupavesh. He went from Sadakavesh, absorption in his Sadakarup, and praying, oh, please let me see a Leela, please let me see a Leela. This is my deepest desire. Okay, boing, prayer, instant you offer the prayer. Now here's the Leela. Oh, Giridhari, I see the Leela. They're seeing, but there's something also called seeing, feeling, experiencing, right? Seeing is some thought impression. Some object is perceived by light impulses hit the eye, creates a thought, and then you interpret that as pleasurable or not pleasurable, you accept it or reject it. And that's like the thinking aspect, just the sight, the visual sight. But then the emotions, the heart ties in with that object, that udipan, then that's called the feeling. And then there's the response, the expression, how it registers in your body and mind. You may cry, you may speak, you may run, you may do something. And that's the anubhav. So that's the expression, outward expression. So there's thinking, feeling, and willing. This happens on the level of rasa, it happens on the level of just ordinary dealings. So he's seeing this Leela. Now he's in a Srupavesh. Because you can only enter Leela in Srupavesh. You can only enter in a Srupavesh, either your Siddhadeha, and by your meditation, level of bhava and prema, you can enter Leela, Leela Pravesh. So either way, he's in his, not in his sadhaka rup, but in his siddha rup. And what is a siddha rup? Champak Manjari. No, that's Narottam. Vishnu Chakravarti is Vinod Valery. I believe it's Vinod Valery Manjari. Champak Manjari is Narottam. It's Vinod Valery Manjari. So now Vinod Valery Manjari, she's standing there and with all the sakis, with Radharani and so many Lalita and so many other sakis, watching Giridhari hold up the Govardhan Hill. And she's looking. And she's thinking, oh, I'm also Haridas. I'm Haridasi. And he's Haridas. And sometimes, you know, Krishna touches me with his fingers, or he touches, grabs me. So I know what Krishna's finger feels like. And now Giriraj is feeling the tip of that pinky finger, so he must be experiencing the softness. Then she experiences that softness. So this is a reciprocation. And she even understands that all these thunderbolts are being thrown, but he didn't even feel anything. Actually, in Gopal Champa and some other books, it says that when Indra was throwing all of his thunderbolts at Giriraj, not even one pebble was knocked off the hill. There's so many little pebbles and stones. Thunderbolts like atomic bomb. Bum. Indians say bum. Atomic bomb. They throw this thunderbolt. And you can imagine, how is it possible? You ever go in the forest? When I grew up, we had some forests over there, a few acres. And there'd be these big hurricanes and lightning, and rain everywhere. And the house would be shaking. I'd be shaking also, more than the house. You know, right over the head. Boom! You know how those thunderclaps. In the cities, I don't seem to get those things for some reason. You know, they had rain, but do you ever get thunder and lightning, all that stuff? You got? In the country, because we lived 1105 Ocean Road, we lived about 11 blocks from the ocean. You know, near oceans, you got these, tufan and cyclone and typhoon and hurricanes and all this, hurricane this and that. So so many times I remember this lightning, and I see this, going across the sky. It's pretty far out, like. But when it makes that sound, you're so scared. It's like a big bomb. You're in Long Island, you get so many out there. So it's quite scary. So they, what were we saying? That when,
Not even a pebble
would go. And then sometimes it says that Giridhari, he felt like the lightning bolts, like he's getting his back scratched. It's like, if you have some itch on your back, they have these little sticks with little fingers on it. And you go like this, and scratch your back, if you don't have a wife or husband or something. and you go like this, or use a kitchen spoon or something. Whatever. So it says in one place that he felt that like he was getting nice mollish, and getting a back scratch from the thunderbolts. Demanding a road tax, Krishna quarreled for several hours at Don Gati with the Brishabhanu Nandini. Rasik Bhaktas visiting Govardhan are eager to listen to that sweet prem quarrel. It's called Prema Kalaha. Lover's quarrel. Prema Kalaha. May that Govardhan fulfill my desire that I also can hear that verbal battle. So now, he's in the river. He's prayed that Leela's... The first prayer was, oh please, I'm a sadhaka. I'm missing you. I'm so much separated from you. I'm just thinking of all wrong things and I'm... Please, my desire is to get darshan of Radha and Krishna's leelas. And so then Giriraj says, oh, you want darshan of Radha and Krishna's leelas? This is your innermost desire. You don't have any desires to watch cricket and play, soccer and all these other things. You only want to see the leelas. I said, yes, all that's my abhishtam. That's my deepest desire, dishitam abhishtam. Okay, now here's the leelas. Now the leelas start flowing like a river current, like it's called Swarasiki. One leela after another leela. So much depth and so much different things going on, which we don't have time to explain each verse. But now he's seen this lifting of the Govardhan. Now he's seeing another leela, Don Gati. Gati means a narrow passage. But there's the mountain is going like this. It's very high. Then it comes down to a very low area. And then it goes like, there's a dip. It's like a little dip. Then it goes up again high. And that little dip, that it's like a crevice or a little passageway between two high parts of the mountain. That's called Gati. That's a part someone can walk through. Like in Barsana, they have Sankarikor, a place called Sankarikor in the Barsana Parikrama Marg, a very narrow area. So that's Don Gati. So when Krishna would hear from some parrots, so all this is being seen by Vishnu, this whole Leela, some parrots would come and tell him when he was at Gwalpur, oh, do you know the Vrishabhanu Nandini, Lalita Vishaka, Asasaki? They're coming to Govindakund. They're having a big yagya there. And Vasudeva has hired Bhaguri Rishi. Bhaguri Rishi is going to go there and do a big yagya for your welfare. So it's some demon-killing yagya, so no demons will harass you. And they're carrying so much ghee on their heads for that yagya, and so much yogurt and so much milk. Make sweet rice, because they offer also sweet rice into proper yagya. You offer sweet rice along with the ghee and job and sesame and all these things. So they're bringing all that to donate to Bhaguri Rishi and to get some ashirvad and blessings from him, that, of course, that they can meet you, which is their abhishtam, mano abhishtam. The desire of their heart, of the gopis, is to meet you. Sri Krishna Manobishtam. Sri Krishna Manobishtam. This is Radharani's prayer. And her only abhishta, Manobishtam. The only desire in her heart is to Sri Krishna Milan, to meet with Krishna. So, they're going there to please those rishis, and they have to pass through this narrow passageway to get from that side of the hill to this side. Because Govindakund's over here and Varsana's over there. Okay, so he gets all the coward boys together. Then they go to Dangati and they take the ropes off their turbans. They have these ropes tied in a very ornate and decorative way in their turbans. They're about a meter long. And they use those to tie the legs of the cow so he doesn't get kicked. Krishna doesn't get kicked when he milks the cow. Or sometimes to tie the calf up away from the mother. So then they tie some of these ropes together and they make a gate. Gate. And then Madhumangala's on one side and then Sri Dhamma or Subal's on the other side holding a rope, and then Krishna's there and he has a stick and he stands there like this. In the middle. Stop! Stop! Halt! What are you carrying in those pots? We pass through here every day. We've never seen anything like this. What is this whole this contraption? This rope. And just get out. This. And they lift it. Lalita Sakhi lifts the rope. Get out. Hey, tighten the rope, boys. I said, stop. You have to pay tax. And it goes back and forth and pushing and this and that. So he's seeing this Leela. Now he's in his Vinod Valery. He's right there with Radharani. And he's also telling Krishna, hey, why are you stopping my Swamini? She's Vrindavaneshwari. She's the queen of this whole area. Since when are you? Who appointed you to collect taxes? You're a Pashupati. You're just running behind the animals. You know, just run with your cows. This is not your business, taxing you. Since when you became a tax collector? All you know is a little toot toot and run behind the flute, run behind the cows. So then the mantri's there. So this quarreling goes for several hours. Prem Kalaha, his lover's quarrel. So the Rasika Bhaktas visiting are very eager to listen to this sweet. And so now he's saying, may that Govardhan fulfill my desire that I can also hear that verbal battle. Of course, that desire has been fulfilled by Raghunath Das Goswami and by Rupa Goswami, because they wrote two beautiful plays called, Raghunath Das wrote Don Kali Chintamani, which is all about this Don Kali Leela, which happens many places. And then Rupa Goswami wrote Don Kali Komodi. So we can hear those conversations. And they're very, very wonderful, if you've ever read them. Snatva Saraswasha Samira Hasti. Bathing in Govardhan's lakes, Sara. Snatva Sara. Which are filled with lotuses and surrounded by kadamba and other flowers. The cool, sweet and strong breeze blows over the water, shaking the pollen from the flowers as it blows the flowers against each other. This breeze, mixing playfully with the pollen and fragrance of the flowers, is like an elephant who covers himself with dust after taking his bath and then plays with his female friends. May that beautiful Govardhan fulfill my desires. So this can be in his sadhaka roop or his siddha roop, sakhi roop, as Vinod Valery Manjri. He's seeing the different lakes around Govardhan Hill. There's so many lakes. There's Manasaganga. There's Apsarakund and Navalkund. And there's Dan Nivartan Kund, Govindakund, and Rudrakund, and Sarabikund, and Indrakund, and Brahmakund, and Gwalpukur, which is also a kund, and of course Shamakund and Radhakund. There's many, many beautiful lakes around around Govardhan. And he's describing some of the beauty of them. And they're making some analogy here between the wind and the pollen, the elephant. And the elephant, of course, is Krishna. And the flowers are the gopis. And the pollen is their love. And this, like this, some imagery is there. Is the sweet fragrance of Govardhan coming because Krishna is sleeping on a bed of musk here? Kasturika, shayatam. It means a bed of kasturi. Kasturi means musk. If Krishna is not sleeping here at Govardhan, how is this fragrance coming? All of Govardhan's shilas are fragrant because the breeze is carrying the fragrance of the pollen of the flowers and the fragrance of Krishna's leelas here with all the gopis. May that Govardhan fulfill my desire. So now he's in Sadaka Roop and he's appreciating the air, the wind, which is laden with so much wonderful fragrance. And that fragrance is stimulating his remembrance of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Shila Sugandhi, Naisargika Suya, Suya's Shila Sugandhi, very fragrant Shilas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was worshipping his Govardhan Shila, he used to hold the Shila to his nose. And he used to smell the Shila because the Shila is Krishna. And Mahaprabhu was Krishna and Radhabhav, experienced Radharani's separation from Krishna. So when he would hold the Shila to his nose, he would smell the beautiful fragrance of Krishna, like kasturi musk, and chandan sandalwood, and aguru, and camphor, kapoor. Very, very wonderful. So then when he would smell that fragrance, he would become absorbed in Krishna's remembrance and start crying. And then he would bathe that his tears, Premashru, Gauranga's tears, Mahaprabhu's tears would bathe the Govardhan Shila. And then he would start trembling. While he was holding his Shila, he would start trembling in sattvic bhavs. While he was trembling, the Shila would start to slip out of his hands. And Shila is Krishna. He's fearing that he may lose Krishna. And Krishna will slip away from him because his hands are full of tears. So then he would hold the Shila and press the Shila with his thumb and then hold to his chest or hold to his forehead. He said, "Oh, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. You are mine. I am yours." Like this. So this is a fact that Govardhan is very fragrant. Not only fragrant with Sugandhi, but Sugandhi Leela. The Govardhan's pastimes are very fragrant, very attractive. All of our senses, actually all the senses become one to enter the pastimes of the Lord. As someone enters the pastimes of the Lord, then the ears become eyes, the nose becomes eyes, the mouth, the tongue becomes eyes, to see. All the senses become eyes to see the Lord. And then when one is not perceiving the Lord in his vision, then he might smell the Lord. So then his eyes become nose, and his nose becomes nose, and his tongue becomes nose. This is what happens. This is told in Madhurya Kadambini, that all the senses become the predominant sense to interact with the Lord's love and his form, his sight or his fragrance or his touch. And so he's the fragrance of the leelas. This is more important. The leelas are very fragrant. They're inundating and captivating to the mind. The deer on Govardhan start running upon hearing the sound of the wind blowing through the holes of the bamboo trees, thinking that Krishna is there playing his flute. Not finding him, they are astonished and wander here and there searching for Krishna. May that Govardhan fulfill my desire. So he's explaining that in Braj, everyone is in Madhurya Bhav. There's no such thing as Shantaras or Dasiras. Everyone it's just, for example, if you have a boat, if you're on a boat, and there's animals on that boat on some ocean liner, you have your pet dog is there and your pet bird, and there's dogs and there's servants and there's people, and there's 3,000 people, and you're going for a 1 month cruise. There's so many, what to speak of rats, lots of rats in the boat, rats and cockroaches and all kinds of living entities. Desirable or undesirable. We're all on the boat, and there's so much paraphernalia. There's clothing, and there's pool tables, and swimming pools, and movie theaters, and so much food and everything. Now, if the boat sinks, goes under the water and sinks, then what happens? Everything becomes wet. Everything becomes soaked with salt water. What to speak of finished off, drowned, dead. But everything becomes soaked in the salt water, right? The books, the pool table, the rat, the cat, the dog, you, everything. So the same thing in Madhurya Dham Vrindavan, everything is dripping with Madhurya sweetness, Madhurya Ras. So anything and anyone that comes into Vrindavan, they get saturated and drowned in the Madhurya Ras. The trees are Madhurya Ras, the ground is Madhurya Ras, the deer, the birds, the swans, the cows, the coward boys, everyone is assisting the Madhurya Ras, or knowingly or unknowingly, or tasting the Madhurya Ras, or directly experiencing it, especially the trees and the animals. There's no restrictions for them. So they get lavishly showered with the sweetness of Radha and Krishna's prema. So here, of course, this is another nature of Mahabhav, because the Manjaris, Radharani and the Manjaris and Sakis, when they're in this Mahabhav, Divyonmad Mahabhav, one of the symptoms of Mahabhav is to see your feelings, you project your feelings into others, not only into other people, even into other animals and trees. So you're in a madness of love, and you're running everywhere in viraha, separation. Krishna kaha, where's my Krishna, where's my Krishna? Then you see the deer running. The deer are always running here and there. Oh, deer, you're also missing Krishna? You're also searching for the sound of his flute like us? Oh, deer, don't cry. Oh, I see there's some tears in your eyes, because they always have a little bit of moisture in their eyes. Are you crying in separation from Krishna like us? So this is called divyonmad, divya, transcendental, unmad, madness, unmata. Mata means madness, and un means uttam. Uttam mata, or unmad, means highest pitch of madness. Absolute crazy. Total crazy. But transcendental. Divya. Divyan, divya unmad. So that's the state of consciousness that you see your mood in others. So here, Vinod Valery Mandri is moving around with Radharani and smelling Krishna's fragrance and becoming captivated. Because that fragrance is connected to Krishna. When you smell Krishna's fragrance, you smell Krishna. Namru guna lila parishishna parishad. It's all transcendental. One is connected to the other. So if you smell Krishna's fragrance, that becomes udipan, becomes an excitant or a stimulant to awaken your memory files, which means staibhav, your permanent loving mood towards the Lord. Ah, that, you smell that fragrance? Do you know who that is? I know who that is. Do you know who it is? Yeah. Can you see my hair standing on end and trembling and my throat's choked up? Yes, that's him. That's Sham. Where is he? I think he's over there. No. Oh, it's more concentrated fragrance here. And then they run. So the gopis are running. Then while they're running, they say, hey, look, the deer are running also. Vinod Valery, look. So she's saying, yes, look, the deer. So the deer are running upon hearing the sound. But they're stupid. They're just stupid animals. They're actually only the bamboos are rustling against each other. And the wind's blowing through some bamboos and making some whistling sounds. Ooh. And so the deer is so foolish, they think, oh, they think that's Krishna's flute. And they're thinking. And then they can't find him, and then they're just wandering. Vismita. Vismita means vishesh. Smita. Vismita means they're just bewildered, and they don't know what's happening. And that's the same as us. We also are foolish ladies. We become foolish because of the intensity of our attachment and praying for Krishna. So we also heard the wind blow through the bamboos, and we thought it was Vamshidari, with his Vansuli, playing his Vamsi. And we also went running. Oh, is that Krishna playing? Oh, Vamshidari, come, take me, hold me, drop your flute and hold me. Gopidar, become Gopidari. No, Vamshidari, you're holding that, put that flute down. Why are you kissing him? Kiss me. You're always kissing that flute, and that flute is male, that Venu is male. Vamshi is female, Venu is male. What is this? My lips aren't any good. Throw down that flute and kiss me. Vamshidari, Gopidari. You hear a Gopidari? Gopidari means the holder of the gopis. Gopidar. Like we have Murlidar, Haladar. So they say, so they're like the deer, and they're both like gone crazy and running. So they're seeing the same projection. So this is also he's seeing. This is also Leela. In the middle of Manasi Ganga, Sri Radha was sitting in a Krishna's boat. So this is Nokabihara. Right, Nokabihara, boating pastimes. When the boat began to sink, Now Radhika tightly clung to the boatman's neck. Together they looked very beautiful. May that Govardhan who provides the setting for this secret Leela fulfill my desire. Now Govardhan really has been fulfilling his desires because every minute he's going down the river of Leela, Leela Nadi. He's going from this Leela to that Leela to this. These are all the prominent Leelas of Govardhan. Because Govardhan, when you go into the theater, they can only show you the movies in the theater. Whatever's there in their stock, they can show you. So Govardhan, you're praying to me, Giriraj, to show you Leelas of Radha and Krishna. So what am I supposed to show you? I'm supposed to show you the Leelas at Vamshibhat and Sevakunj? No, I'll show you what's in my stock. Dan Gati Leela, Govardhan. Leelas and Radhakund and all the Kunds, that's Govardhan. Manasi Ganga, boating, Nokabihar, Govardhan. Right? Giridhari lifting a Govardhan, Govardhan. So you want a Leela, so I can show you all these. I have these with me. These are always going on eternally. And at my Leela Stali, at Giriraj, these Leelas are going on eternally. And your heart's desire is to see them, and you're begging me, then, you know, you can certainly see me, see these Leelas. And he's seeing them one by one. This is Swarasiki. One Leela after another, and then so much other things going on. There's so much movement, so much dialogue, so much conversation, so much ras, so much anubhavs and vibhavs, everything going on. It's all compacted. Yatreva Ganga Mano Navi Radham. Ganga means Manasi Ganga. Navi means Noka. Noki Radham. Aroya Madhye. Nimagna Noka. The Noka, the boat is getting submerged. Nimagna. Krishna hi Radangalo Bhavo, Radha's Angali, while she was clutching around the neck, she tightly clung to his neck. And he looked very beautiful. And he's saying, are you seeing it? Do you see the beauty of how they look? Like a lightning strike merged in a blue rain cloud. Without taking shelter, the lotus feet of Govardhan, who is the best of Sri Hari's servants, Haridas Varya, and it was full of love for Sri Radha and Krishna. How will one ever attain Shuddha Bhakti? Padashrayam Bhakti Ratak Shrayami. May that Govardhan fulfill my inner desire and grant me special Prem Seva for that, for Sri Radha and Krishna when they are meeting in the many kunjas at Govardhan. So that's Saprema, Nijesha Yoshri. So this is, he wants to, there's so many kunjas at Govardhan itself and so many caves, and he wants to have the privilege of having the service of Radha and Krishna in those caves. In the winter time or in the rainy season or in the hot season, they often take shelter in the caves and especially the caves, but this is saying kunjas of Govardhan. So this is a very beautiful prayer. And Vishwanath is very kind in his Phal Shruti. Benediction, the fruit, the verse of the fruit of hearing, a benediction verse. He's saying any person who reads this Ashtakam, Govardhan Ashtakam, glorifying Sri Hari's greatest servant, again this phrase, Haridas Varya, with his heart melting, Anubhav, his voice choking, his hair standing on end, and tears flowing, quickly attains direct service to the lotus feet of Sri Radhika Madhav. Of course, if these are the prerequisites, you already attained the loving service. As you read these, and you read these while experiencing astasaptic bhavs, or at least three of them, this is trembling, the hair standing on end. How many? There's four of them, three or four of them. Choked voice, Ramancha Kampa Sutaranga Bhajo. Choked voice, hair standing on end, and tears flowing, and heart melting. This melting of the heart is called Mashishnu. This is one of the symptoms at the level of bhava, I believe. Sri Krishna Karshati and Mashishnu, then Sanjanatma Visheshatma, and Sri Krishna Sankarshani. So at the level of praying, there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. So at the level of praying, it's Sri Krishna Sankarshani and Sanjanatma Visheshatma, that you experience it. You attract Krishna. You attract Krishna, control Krishna by your love, by your praying, at prema level. Krishna Prem. And then you Sandra, Chandra Atma, Visheshatma. Your Atma becomes, Chandra means concentrated, very special, Chandra Ananda, very special bliss you experience. With the level of bhava, there's two symptoms of the six symptoms of pure devotional service. This is the nectar devotion. And then one of them is Riddhiya Mashishna, your heart becomes melted. It becomes very soft. Your heart becomes very soft when you're full of bhava. Become a softie. People say, oh, he's a softie. He's not a hard nut. He's a softie. But it's a different kind of softening. It means soft for the service of Krishna, but hard for the service of Maya. You don't have any affection for Maya any longer. You know, all your affection and attachment is for Krishna, the person, supreme person. So Govardhan is feeling so many bhavas as he's watching Radha and Krishna's leelas. And being very kind, he can easily give this prem, achireni, achirena sakshat. Immediately he can manifest, you can also have this sakshat darshan, dasyam, he can give. So this is a wonderful prayer glorifying Govardhan. Because all of you, or at least directly or indirectly, everyone in the room was engaged in the service of Giri Govardhan. And you put those song sheets in there. So everyone's worshipping deities, either pictures or deities. So these are some appropriate instructions from Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto. Because Giridhari, of course, we say that is Archamurti, the Vigraha, Archavigraha, the form of the Lord or deity. But of course that may seem a little distant, a little formal, a little mechanical, or a little impersonal even, say deity, because we think of the Lord as our Vallabh, our Vallabha, our beloved. These are everything. So these points are brought out in these verses. What is the mentality of the worshipper? Like you don't think that, you know, the husband doesn't think my wife is my deity. And my wife is my lover. You know, she's like part of me. Ekatma dui deha. They say like that. Do deha. Ekatma. We're like one. We, husband and wife, are like one person in two bodies. So the deity, we don't think, oh, this is my deity. You know, this is my everything. This is my Lord. This is my master. This is my friend. This is my lover. This is my everything. This is my Krishna. And my Krishna is mamata. Mamata means possession. Feeling the sense or tendency of possessiveness, feeling possessive. This is my Lord. Oh, and my Giriraj, I do like this. Oh, really? Well, my Giriraj, I do like this. My Giriraj, I offer red gunjamala. Oh, that's nice. Well, my Giriraj, I offer white gunjamala. That's your bhav. That's your perception or your understanding or the indication from your guru varg and your own bhav, your own feelings that have awakened by your surrender and seva in relation to your quote-unquote deity, or your friend, your master, your swami. Achayam standile do va surye vapsu ridhidvija dravyena bhakti yukto chait sagurum mam amamaya. This is chapter 27, 11th canto, verse 9. Krishna is telling directly, so he knows about deity worship. Because he is the deity. The Archamurti, or the Swayam Bhagavan, or the Vilas, or Prakash, or the Super Soul, they're all manifestations and forms of the Lord. A Brahman should worship me, his worshipful Lord, without duplicity. Amayaya. Offering appropriate paraphernalia, dravya bhakti yukto, in loving devotion to my deity form, or to a form of me appearing upon the ground in fire, sun, water, or within a worshipper's own heart. So these are the places where we can find the Lord. Riddhi, one says Riddhi, Surya, that's Surya Bhagavan. Some people worship the Lord, Lakshmi, Surya Narayan, Surya Narayan. The Lakshmi and Surya Narayan, Surya Narayan Bhagavan lives in the sun planet, and he's worshipped by Surya Dev. Surya Dev is a devata. demigod of the sun planet. There is a temple there and a house there, and there's a forearm form of Bhagavan who resides there. It's called Surya Narayan, maybe you've heard. And Lakshmi Devi is there massaging his feet and rendering service, and he's the house guest of Surya Devi. But Surya Devi has his wives, Chaya Devi and Sangya Devi. And Surya Devi has his children. Who are the children of Surya Devi? Does anyone know? The children of Surya Devi, his wives are Samgya, means all knowledge, and Chaya means shadow. Interesting wife. The wife of the sun is, the sun is light and the shadow. So the shadow, Chaya, shadow is his wife, Chaya Devi. And Samgya, all knowledge. And they produce three children. The first and most prominent is Yamaraj. And the second one is Shani Maharaj. Everyone likes him very much. He comes every Saturday, knocks on your door. Shani Maharaj. And you give a rupee in the mustard oil. It's a little metal deity, a little piece of iron or something, representing Shani, and a bucket with mustard oil in it. Because mustard oil is what you use to worship Shani. One of my friends in Delhi, they have a Shani Mandir. And I went there, and there's all broken bottles everywhere. And some black deity. And I said, what's going on here? So this is a temple of Shani. And people come here every Saturday with mustard oil. And they pour the mustard oil over Shani, then they break the bottle on the floor. I said, that's nice. It's very interesting puja. So they bathe Shani with mustard oil, but our Gopal we bathe with cow's milk. In Panchamrita and Panchagavya. But Shani prefers mustard oil. He's a little more fiery. And that cools him down, I guess. We'll give him that mustard oil. You fight heat with heat, fire with fire. So Shani and Yamaraj, and so he's got a fiery son and a cool daughter. Now his cool daughter is Kalindi or Jamuna Devi. She's the daughter of the sun god, Yamiyama. Yamiyama temple is there in Vishramghat, this Yamaraj and his sister Yami. And there's a day in Kartik when you go and bathe at Vishramghat and worship Yamuna, then Yamaraj, I forget what it's called, Daibuj or something like that. Daibuj? Sandvitya, where there's one day, Rakhi, that's when sisters worship their brothers. Sisters worship their brothers on Rakhi. So Daibuj, then Bhaiduj. Bhaiduj. Or Bhaidud. Or whatever you want. Buy something. Bhaiduj is when the sisters, or whatever it is, worship the brothers. No, the brothers worship the sisters. How does it work? Sisters worship the brothers. Anyway, you know better. So that's also going on with Yamaraj and Yamuna. And it's in the Puranas. Anyone who worships, takes bath in Yamuna and has darshan of Yamaraj that day, then Yamaraj will look the other way when it comes time. When it comes time to take you to his place, he'll say, oh, you were good to me, and you're a friend of my daughter Yamuna, so you don't have to visit my place. I won't take you to hell. So this is one thing that the Lord is saying here. Now, we look here, there's a very interesting verse here. Prabhupada is saying, and the purport, I mean not Prabhupada, but his disciples, the devotees of the Lord understand themselves to be the Lord's eternal servitors. Recognizing the deity to be the Lord himself, they permanently install the deity and engage in perpetual worship. So this is a nice point that the devotees, they understand themselves to be the Lord's eternal servitors, and they recognize the deity to be the Lord himself. I went to someone's house, and everywhere in the living room there was an air conditioner, in the bedroom there was an air conditioner, and I went in the temple room, and it was hotter than Hades. I said, what is this, Yamapuri or Vaikuntha? I mean, usually the deity lives in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. But it was so hot in the deity room. I said, Krishna doesn't get an air conditioner? He said, no, Krishna doesn't need an air conditioner. I said, why? He said, oh, no, he's just a murti. Why? You know, he's not a person? You're a person. So where you came from? You came from the Supreme Person. So if you can get an air conditioner, why can't he? Radha and Krishna can have an air conditioner, only you can have one. And I said, if you only have enough money to get one air conditioner, then you get for them. And then everybody sleep in their room. They don't mind. If you behave yourself. There's only one. Don't put your face on Krishna and try to be the enjoyer. Our one godbrother used to say that. When you read Krishna Leela, don't put your face on Krishna. In other words, Krishna is enjoying all these gopis. Oh, that's me. I'm enjoying. So the idea is we approach Krishna to serve him and to enhance and nourish his leelas, as all the gopis do. The sakis are all enhancing and nourishing the taste of ras in the various pastimes of the Lord as expansions of Radharani's vyuha, body. So the atma, the jivatma, is also an expansion of the Lord's body. We're expansions to tasta jivas. We're also expansions of Mahavishnu. As the gopis are expansions of Radharani's body, and they're meant to nourish, they do, in fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, they nourish and expand the pastimes, the pleasure of Krishna. Because one can render service and give happiness, but thousands of gopis can give more service and more happiness. So Radharani expands herself into thousands. So Mahavishnu is also a servant of the Lord. In order to serve the Lord more, he expands into thousands and thousands of jivas, to tasta jivas, and that's us. Some are liberated, some are bound. When we become unbound or liberated, then we can render favorable service, Krishna Anukulya. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilam Bhakti Uttama. But when we're bound, Nityabhata, then we're serving also, but we're serving the Maya Shakti. And it's not, it's maybe, we think it's favorable to us, because actually we're trying to serve ourselves. So it's not very favorable to Krishna. But nevertheless, it's still service. So the devotees, they feel that the Lord is a person. And and you'll see how it goes on. Various classes of devotees worship the deity of the personality of Godhead according to the various stages of their faith in the Lord. Faith has different stages. It begins with Komala Shraddha, or it becomes what is called Shraddha Abhas. It's a reflection of faith. It's not real faith. And then it develops by sadhusanga, and by serving saints, one gets Sukriti and develops what they call Shastriya Shraddha. He develops faith in the Shastras. The Shastras are correct. They're speaking correctly. I believe in them. And I'm inspired by them, and I accept them, and I want to follow them. So that's called Shastriya Shraddha. And from that, then he goes and starts associating with sadhus to hear those Shastras and to get further and deeper understanding of those Shastras, because they're very complex and confusing when studied on their own. And when he reads the Shastras, everywhere the Shastras say, you must study the Bhagavatam with an advanced devotee. You must study the pranas with a Vedantic scholar. And so even if he rejects that idea of submitting himself to a teacher, he will meet an impasse in his independent study of the Vedas by getting confused. What does this mean? What does that mean? So he'll be forced by the nature of the subject to seek a teacher. So then it's sadhusanga. And by associating with them, then he develops faith in sadhus and faith in their line of action, or faith in their thoughts or their behavior, or in what sadhana they're doing. And so then he takes up, wants to be like them, and he takes up the path. It's called Bhajana Kriya. Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Adi Shikshanam, beginning with Shiksha. He hears Shiksha from the Guru, Shiksha Guru, for 1 year, two or three, preferably minimum 3 years, at the feet, Upasanam. Upasanam means Guru Upasanam, Shastra Upasanam, Veda Upasanam. He sits near the Shastra, near the Guru, and hears the teachings that increases his faith. Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. And then he gets Diksha in the Krishna Mantra, and Gopal Mantra, and begins his life of devotion. And then which is the clearing stage, purification stage, and Artha-Nivritti. So in each of these stages, it's all about Shraddha. 5% Shraddha, 10% Shraddha, the faith is increasing, and Artha-Nivritti there's three levels of faith in Artha-Nivritti, and then it goes on to Nishtha Ruchi. And finally, Prem. Prem is fully developed faith, fully enriched faith, unshakable, deep faith, very firm faith. So various classes of devotees worship the deity according to their stages of faith. An advanced devotee of Krishna understands his eternal relationship with the Lord. And seeing the deity as the Lord himself, he establishes an eternal relationship with the deity based on loving servitude to him. So an advanced devotee means a bhava bhakta. He's on the level of bhava bhakti or prema. and he realizes his citadeya in a particular stahibhav. He may be a sukha, a coward boy, and sakiras, friendly relation as a friend, or he may be in the mood of a mother or father, or which is not so much in our sampradaya, but he may be in the mood of a gopi, sakhi gopi, pran sakhi, mandri bhav, bhavalas rati, or he wants to serve Radha and Krishna like the Goswamis or like Rupa Manjari. And at the level of bhava, of course, his citadeya is revealed that he's so-and-so Manjari, or rather he or she, whatever, maybe a man externally or woman, but internally, citadeya, spiritual body, is a Manjari, a sakhi, spiritual form. And then the deity is not the deity, but it's my Krishna. It's the Nikunja Devata. He's the Lord of the Nikunjas. He's Rasa Vihari, the Lord of the Rasa Dance. And Giridhara Dari. And so now I'm serving him in Anugatya, in allegiance to. Gopi Sakir Anugatya. I'm serving him, Krishna, in allegiance to Radharani and the Gopis. And I'm serving Radharani. So this is the highest end. So he establishes an eternal relationship with the deity based on loving servitude to him. Understanding Krishna to be the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, a faithful devotee makes a permanent arrangement for deity worship, installing the Lord's form made of, for example, stone, wood, or marble. So I gave one lecture, or we gave one lecture in Krishna Bhavana Mandir. We were fortunate enough to lecture there. And maybe it was, I think it was a celebration, a 30th anniversary of the opening of the temple, 2005, I believe, or 2004, Krishna Bhavana Temple. A very elaborate celebration to celebrate 30 years of the Krishna Bhavana Mandir, 2004 or 2005, the day that Krishna Prabhupada opened the Krishna Bhavana Mandir and did the first artik himself. He's wearing kurta and he's fanning Krishna Balaram. He offered the artik. You see pictures of that. Samstakacharya Srila Prabhupada. So in that lecture we said, what we're celebrating today is not the opening of the temple, but this is the day that the pure devotee opened the doors of his heart to reveal his Ishtadev to the world. And that got a standing ovation. Something like that, I don't remember exactly, but something like this. We're not celebrating, this is not the Pran Pratishtha Utsav of 30 years, but this is the day that Srila Prabhupada opened the doors of his heart to reveal to the world the hereto before, never known Ishtadev, the Lord of his heart, Krishna Balaram Radha Shyama Sundar, to the world on this day. So this is the what's being said here. The understanding Krishna be the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, a faithful devotee makes a permanent arrangement for deity worship, installing the form of the Lord. So Prabhupada is that faithful devotee. His faith is sudridhanishchoy. Sudridhanishchoy. His faith is completely strong and deep. And so he established the worship of Radha Shyam in Vrindavan, which is his eternal home. He's a Nitya Parishad. Eternal home means Nitya Parishad. He's a Nitya Sakhi, Pran Sakhi of Radharani. So then he established Radha Shyam Sundara. No one will challenge, pretty much, except some people that really have mamata for their own deities. But most people will accept the fact that Radha Shyam Sundara are the most beautiful Radha Krishna deities in the entire world. Radha Shyam Sundara ki jai. It's a very interesting phenomenon that people have deities all around the world, and so many people have deities in their houses that they worship very nicely with great devotion and love. But at the same time, they have a picture of Radha Shyam Sundar somewhere on some wall. They have a blow up in the dining room, or the living room, or in the bedroom, or in the temple room. Everyone has an 8x10 or some picture of Radha Shyam Sundar. I mean, we do ourselves in our room, our bedroom. So we have our own Ishtadev, our own Kula Devata, family deity, and all these things. But nevertheless, we had the opportunity, we had the opportunity to serve them personally with artik and bathing and massaging their forms. And so we have some few drops of mercy from their ocean of mercy came on this unfortunate one. So that solidified more our attachment to them. By serving Krishna and his devotees, we increase our attachment. The more the service, the more the attachment. And if you serve a spiritual person or the deity, then you become attached to a spiritual person. And the Lord, once the devotee said, Prabhupada, you're leaving us. And you're kind of getting up in years, and if you leave us and go back to Krishna, then what's going to happen to us? Because we don't know anything about Krishna. We've only, you know, there's only a couple books in the movement, and we haven't even read them. We're too busy on Harinam every day. There's Bhagavad Gita, and there's Bhagavatam, first canto. And there's Nectar Devotion, and there's teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book. And Prabhupada, we know we haven't, that's all the books there are, and we haven't read them. So, because we're busy with the Harinam, what's going to happen to us? Because all we know is you, and you're our everything. So, where are we going? What's going to happen? Where are we going to go? And Prabhupada said, you'll go where I go. Because you're attached to me, so you have to go wherever I go. If I'm going somewhere and leaving this world, then you have to go there too, because you're attached to me. Because attachment determines your future. You go where your attachments are. So then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, you're going to Krishna. You're going to the spiritual world. You're going to Golok, Braja Gokul, Sevakunj, Radha Damodar, Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, yes. And you'll go with me. And you'll be there too. So this is a great source of inspiration for all the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So this attachment we want to have, to be attached. And now Krishna is telling here in this verse 15, Dravye prasider madhyaga pratimadish vamayina bhaktasya chayata labder vridibhavena chayvaha. One should worship me in my deity forms by offering me the most excellent paraphernalia. But a devotee completely freed from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to obtain, and may even worship me within his heart with mental paraphernalia. So what's being said here is, if you're rich, if you're a Hinduja, then don't be cheap in your deity worship, which often happens, actually. Like I said, we have an air conditioner. We have money for 5 air conditioners, but not a 6th one. Somehow or other, we just ran out. We had enough money for the TV room air conditioner, the kiddies air conditioner, our air conditioner, and of course the office. But Krishna's temple room, oh, somehow we fell a little short. And it's been that way. Like when I said, how long you've had an air conditioner? 15 years. That's right. How long has the temple been here? 15 years. You're so poor, you can't save like 1 rupee every day and maybe buy an air conditioner after 15 years? We never thought of it. And it's like this. You know. Well, the more you start thinking that Krishna's a person, the more you're going to make some spiritual advancement. So that's what these verses are pointing us in that direction. So he's saying here that, in other words, if one's rich, he should offer opulent things. If he doesn't have much, then he offers whatever he can. And if he has nothing, he's niskinchan, sadhu, then he offers mental paraphernalia, manasi seva. But the idea is everyone should worship. Everyone should offer the best. Offer the best that your mind can produce. If you have nothing, they'd say, I have nothing, but I have a really productive mind. I offer 10 air conditioners in my mind. But we don't have enough money for a fan. And we live in a drainage pipe. We live in a drain. My whole family lives in an abandoned cement pipe on the side of the road in Oakland. I drive a rickshaw by the day, and I put a little chain around it at night. And my little babies, we just crawl around inside the drainage pipe. You ever see? I've seen people living in cement pipes. Sarvakata Stana, Krishna said in the Gita, living entities are everywhere, even inside the drain pipe. They got a whole household there, you know, TV room, kitchen, everything, dining room, guest room. Oh, some guests came over. Look, I got a little drainage pipe over here for you. I got a nice drainage pipe. It's a little cracked in the roof, but we can put some rags up there and some plastic bags, and probably the rain won't come in much since you came all the way from Bengal to visit me in my drain pipe. So you can stay in my guest drain pipe. So they have nothing, but maybe they have bhav. It says bhavena. This is what it says here. It says riddhi bhavena chaivahi. You have nothing? Riddhi bhav. Well, whatever your bhav, your love, your heart's love, whatever, how much love you have in your heart. How I love you, let me count the ways. How I love you, let me think about the ways. Oh, Krishna, I'm going to offer you this and that, and this and that. Like I had mentioned to someone, I said, this one shop has some incense that I was directed to buy. They said it was good. So when I got there, he said it's, 3,000 rupees a kilo or something. I said, listen, this can't be that good. I'm not going to waste 3,000 rupees for incense. I mean, it's a little bit, senseless. Senseless to spend 3,000 on incense. Incense and senseless. So someone came and they brought me some incense that cost 16,000 rupees a kilo. Haribo. 16,000 rupees a kilo. Now, how much chickpeas is that? That's a lot of chickpeas. It's a lot of days of chickpeas. But Krishna also likes sugandhi. It's one of the five things he likes the most is sugandhi. Nice incense, nice oil, nice flowers, sweet rice, and I forget the fifth thing. Flowers and fragrant oil and agarbatti, three and four is sweet rice and I guess bhakti, devotion. And it's five most appreciated items in deity worship. Kheer, what they call payasam in South India. I think maybe it's clothes. Maybe fruits or clothes. I don't forget. Maybe fruits, I'm not sure. It slips my mind. So it is a good thing to offer nice incense, but if one doesn't have, then he can offer 16,000 rupee a kilo incense in your mind. Bhavena, riddhi bhavena. Purport, very interesting purport. A devotee still troubled by material desire. Anybody like that here? That's real. Every time I read this purport, I can never find any people like this. That people are troubled by material desire. Everyone I meet, especially in India, everyone says, "Maharaj, what is this purport? Who is this purport about?" A devotee. It says a devotee. Doesn't materialists? They're not troubled because that's all they are. Materialists are just a bundle of material desires. I don't feel troubled. I just try to follow one after the other. Of course, I never can. I get frustrated, but I'm trying my best. They don't give me any trouble. They're just there, and they beat me up, but they don't give me trouble. A devotee still troubled by material desire tends to see the world as an object of sense grad. Such a neophyte devotee may misunderstand the Lord's supreme position, may even consider the Lord to be an object of his own enjoyment. Hence, the neophyte must offer opulent paraphernalia to the deity so that he may constantly remember that the deity is the supreme enjoyer, and that he, the neophyte, is simply the worshipper and is actually meant for the deity's pleasure. Sometimes, what they're saying is, sometimes people think that they may have a deity and they buy all these opulent things, but they have the idea, heard that you're supposed to offer things to the deities. So they get these really fancy clothes and everything, and they offer them to the deities, and they wear them. And the deity's dressed in some rag or something. So this is what he's saying like this. In contrast, the advanced devotee, one fixed in Krishna consciousness, never forgets that the Supreme Lord is the actual enjoyer and controller of everything. The pure devotee offers his unalloyed love to the personality of God along with whatever paraphernalia is easily obtained. So even with the simplest offering, the pure devotee completely satisfies the Lord. So he says in the next verse, in worshipping the temple deity, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings. That's what one's saying here. So he's actually, this is chapter 11, 27, 11th canto. And he's giving different things about what you can offer to the Lord. And when you worship the deity, you should sit facing the deity. One should sit facing either east, north, or else the deity is fixed in one place, he should sit directly facing the deity, because it's eye to eye, face to face. And he's just going into all these details of ritualistic worship, which is mentioned in the tantric literature, especially Narada Pancharatra, which is the Vaishnava Tantra, which means rules and regulations. purifying all the dravya, purifying the body with nyas. You invite the deity to come down and take baths. It's really quite elaborate. I just want to find a particular philosophical points about the relationship of the deity is a person and he's our friend. I saw that somewhere. Somehow I can't seem to see it. But one should think of the deity as another family member. Very nice. Like we have our Parivar. This is the Gupta's residence. This is Mr. Gupta, Sunil Gupta, Pinky Gupta, Dinky Gupta, whomever. And this is Krishna, Radha Gupta, and Krishna Gupta. So this is a nice point that Sridhar Maharaj is saying here in his commentary. Lord Vishnu instructed Ambarish Maharaj in the Vishnu Dharma Upaparan. Many of these teachings, like we have in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni, Ambarish, and Lord Vishnu. There's some dialogues there. Where Vishnu is saying, I'm always in the heart. Vishnu is telling Durvasa, Vishnu, I am Saranam Ridiyam Mayam, Saranam Ridiyatvam. I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee, and the pure devotee is always in my heart. And you should know that, there's no one more worshipable to me than my pure devotees. I think the light attracts them. So here, Sridhar Maharaj, this teaching he's quoting, he says, Vishnu is telling Ambarish in another Puran called the Vishnu Dharma Upapuran, listen, Ambarish, absorbing your mind completely in the deity, you should give up all other shelter and consider the deity your intimate well-wisher. You should mentally worship him and meditate upon him while you walk, stand, sleep, and eat. You should see the deity in front of you, behind, above, below, and on both sides. In this way, you should constantly remember my deity form. Nice instruction. This is Lord Vishnu speaking to Ambarish Maharaj. Famous story, ninth canto. Durvasa Muni tried to curse Ambarish Maharaj, and it backfired. And Krishna's chakra chased Durvasa Muni all over the universe. Because Krishna protects his pure devotees. Konteya prati janihi name bhakti pranashati. Devotees never perishes. Krishna protects him. So there's songs like this in Hindi glorifying Radharani. If someone has their Ishtadeva's Radharani, then they say, Radha, Radha age, Radhe age, Radhe piche, Radha bhaya, Radha daya, Radha bhara, Radha under, Radha upar, Radha niche. Everywhere I see Radharani. Everything I hear Radha, 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 Radha. Everything I think Radha, 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 Radha. Everything I speak Radha, 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 Radha. Everything I taste is Radharani's remnants, which is Maha, 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 Maha Prasad. Krishna takes the prasad and it's Maha Prasad. And then, because they crawl on me too. And then Radharani takes his remnants, and then the Sakis and devotees take the remnants of Radharani and the Sakis. So whatever I eat is Radharani's remnants. Whatever I give for the loving service of Radharani. Whenever I serve Radharani. So he's saying that this kind of idea should be applied to our own deity, our Kula Devata, or what we say our Ishtadev, our worshipful Lord, our Master, the Deva, our Isha. Ishta means our installed Isha. Ish means controller, Lord, Dev, and Shta or Stan means placed, focused, located, positioned, like Stan. Ishta, Ishta Dev. That Dev, that Lord, Dev means Divyati. Divyati means that playful Lord, Divyati. Divyam, Divyati. Divyam, Divyati Devata. So it means playful, transcendental, playful Lord, God, Swami. Nishta, Ishta. He's permanently fixed. Where is he nishta or where is he placed? In my heart. Mama mandire rahanishi hidin Krishna murari se Krishna murari. There's some Bengalish bhajan. Mama mana mandire Mama Mana Mandire. The Man Mandir. I don't mean Man, it's Man. Man Mandir is also there in Varsana. Man Mandir. Man. Sulking. Love sulk. Pouting. Transcendental disturbance with the beloved. But this is Man. Man means heart. Man means mind. The mind temple. Temple of the mind. Temple of the heart. The Lord is this, my Murari is there, calling me. Mora. Mora means the false ego. Dhamma. Mora. Mora means Murari, the one who destroys the false ego. So he's destroyed the false ego, because I surrendered to him, so he's destroyed my false ego and moved into my heart. Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari, Mama Mana Mandire, Rahanishi Hidin. In this secret place. Rahasya. So the deity, this is our intimate relationship with our deity. We should absorb the mind completely in the deity. Giridhari Age, Giridhari Piche, Giridhari Upara, Giridhari Niche, Giridhari Bhaya, Giridhari Dhaya, Giridhari Under, Giridhari Bhara. You should mentally worship him and meditate upon him while you walk, while you stand, while you sleep and eat. You're going to sleep, and they say, "Oh my, what's your deity? Radha Govinda? What is it? Radha Madhav. Oh, Radha Madhav, I tried to dress you today, and you have this nice white outfit, and your smile is so nice. You have this little nose ring, and you have this earring. And I don't know if I'll ever be qualified to serve you in my Siddhadeya, but at least I can think of you now. And you look so sweet and charming, and you arrange for those nice flowers I got, and I offer you this Bela flower." This is the thinking at time of sleeping. And you eat, and you think, "Oh, Rasvihari, this prasad is too good. Did you taste this, Vihari? Giridhari, Giridhari. Oh, you must have had a good time. This is too good." So this way you should constantly remember my deity form. So this is an instruction to Ambarish. He's a devotee. He engaged all of his senses and hands and legs, everything in the Lord's service. So he wanted to do the same. Very interesting point here. It says in the Sringa Puran, if one offers to Lord Govinda, or any Madhava or Masvihari, a yellow sacred thread containing 3 strands of silk, he will become an expert in Vedanta. Seems like an easy way to become a Vidvan. That's a Brahman thread. There's 3 strands. It can be 3 or 6 or 9 or 12. So 3 can be, represents Brahmacharya or Brahman, 3 strands. And Grihastha, you add 3 more strands for the wife. So Grihastha wears 6 strands. Brahman thread. The Prabhupada and Bhakti Sanatana, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they wear 9. 3 into 3 into 3. Sometimes that's done at Vanaprastha. Sannyasis can wear 3 because they're brahmacharis, or they can wear 12 to represent the 4 orders, 4 ashrams. Or they can represent 9, wear 9. Prabhupada wore 9 to represent the 9 islands of Navadvip. And also represents the 9 limbs of devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arshanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanam, Vedanam. 9 threads. It's like this. So you offer Lord Govinda, your Thakurji, Lord Madhav Rasvihari, you get some silk thread and you tie the knot and make a Brahman thread and you offer it to him on Ekadasi or Purnima. Achvan, you put some Ganga Jal on the thread, purify it, and you'll become expert in Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta. But you want to become a Bhakti Vedanta, that type of expert. So there's all kinds of specific details of Lord Krishna. And who can tell you better how to worship a deity than Krishna? He's telling Uddhava. Why is he telling Uddhava? Uddhava doesn't know. Uddhava is worshipping a deity from his childhood. Uddhava had a deity of Krishna since his childhood. And he himself looked like a deity. What color was Uddhava's skin?
Blue.
What kind of eyes he had? Lotus eyes. What kind of hair he had? Long, black, wavy hair. When he wore Krishna's prasadi vesh and prasadi mala, and he came to Vrindavan with the Brahma Gita, with the message from Krishna and Mathura, the gopis at first, because of their Brahm, or Prem Vivart, they mistook Uddhava to be Shyam, because he said he would come back. So he's come, because he's wearing yellow Pitambara dhoti. He's wearing a peacock feather. He's wearing a Gunjamala, all this is prasad given to him by Krishna. So he himself was a deity from childhood, but he's also worshipping deity. So he knows all about how to please the Lord. But through Uddhava, he's teaching all of us, just like Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna's in Maya. Arjuna's Nityaparishad, which means eternal associate. He's living in Vaikuntha with the Lord eternally. The Pandavas are all living in Vaikuntha with the Lord. Vasudeva Krishna, four-armed Krishna, two-armed four-armed. And they're Hastinapur. Hastinapur is there. They're ruling over there eternally in Vaikuntha. But he played the role of a conditioned soul, of someone seemingly in ignorance, affected by ignorance, moha. So he could teach us. So all this thing about deity worship is to teach us. A devotee engaged in regulative worship of the Supreme Lord should sometimes become ecstatically absorbed in chanting and hearing the pastimes of the Lord, dancing and other festivities. But the devotee should be careful not to neglect his regulated services to the Lord in the name of so-called ecstasy. Oh, I'm sorry, my Lord, I was too ecstatic. I couldn't put you to sleep. I had so much ecstatic prasadam at your Janmashtami, and I danced so ecstatically in the kirtan that I felt I got knocked out. I went into an ecstatic swoon at 8 o'clock in the evening, and I woke up, it was 2 o'clock, and I realized I forgot to put you to sleep. Please forgive my ecstasy. So that can happen. I've seen it happen. Because I ran a temple, and everyone has their duties, so that someone has a night duty to put the deities to rest. So as a president, you have to go around, check up, make the rounds. So the pujari was tightly sleeping because it was a very big feast. And his duty was in the morning dressing and then again come in the evening. So in the afternoon, he was free to honor the prasad seva. So he honored the prasad and he was dancing in kirtan. I saw him. I said, oh, I guess I assumed he'll do his service. And then I wouldn't check even, I remember one time. And then I thought, oh, maybe I just go around and see what's going on. So I went down to the temple room, doors, no one was there. Everyone was snoozing off, meditating and leelas and whatnot. And and the doors were wide open, Krishna's standing there. I said, oh, you're not sleeping tonight. I looked at him, I said, Pujariji, Chaitanya Das. Look, I went in, there's nobody, just a few mice running around. They don't know, they weren't trained in the puja, so they couldn't do anything. So then I went upstairs to where the Brahmacharya was staying. I saw Chaitanya Das was in another meditation. So I thought, oh, he was too ecstatic. So rather than waking him, because I'm a little like softy type, and I don't mind that service, I like these kind of things. So I hadn't done it in a long time. So I went and put the deities to rest, and it was like one of the most blissful days. You know, service is judged by its necessity. So they really reciprocated with me, because by the time I took rest, it was quite late. And I think maybe the next day I said, did you forget something yesterday? They said, oh, no. I said, well, what about the deity service? Oh, yeah, I was supposed to put the deity. I said, yeah, well, what happened? How did they get to rest? So, oh, I don't know. I got to rest. So it's like this. We don't want to be too ecstatic. That we forget to worship. It happens. You laugh, but you'll see if you do deity worship. Sometimes, you know, you do everything and then you're, okay, let's do it, get everything, let's take rest. Oh, what about, we forgot to put the deity to rest. Here you are, you know what I mean?
Yes,
those who do deity worship for a long time, these kind of things happen. Sometimes due to ecstatic bliss, and sometimes due to just spacing out bliss. It's another kind of bliss. So then, it's amazing. It's very specific how to offer things to the Lord, land and all kinds of things. And then you get some warning here. If someone steals the property of Brahmins or demigods, he has to live as a worm and stool for 100 million years. Haribo! Anyone who steals the property of the demigods or the brahmanas, whether originally given to them by himself or someone else, must live as a worm and stool for 100 million years. Not only that, the performer of the theft But anyone who assists him, the conspirators, or who instigates a crime, or simply approves of it, must also share the reaction in the next life. According to their degree of participation, they must each suffer a proportionate consequence. So that's not a very good idea, to steal from the Brahmins. So one who simply worships a deity, with no consideration of fruit or result, he will attain me, Bhakti Yogam Silambhata. Those who ever worship me according to the process I have described will ultimately attain Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service to me. So this is the nice discussion from the Srimad Bhagavatam about deity worship. This is something about the identity of the deity, who can worship Krishna, and what is the most essential part of worship. Krishna's deity form is directly Krishna himself. The deity is the form of the Lord that accepts his devotees' worship. The Lord of our heart appears before us in the form of a deity. So when one turns to God, the first turning is in the heart. It's internal. It's individual. It's internal. It's private. Wherever that is, however it is, some circumstance, some setback, some difficulty, chatur vidha bhajanti mam janat sukriti norjana arto artarti jignasar ganicha paratarshava. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people that turn their face to Krishna: arto artarti jignasar, ganicha paratarshava. Those who are in need of wealth, or they're suffering or sick, or inquisitive or genuinely wise. So that turning is usually a solitary event. We're alone, or we have some problem, some obstacle, some difficulty, some loneliness, some frustration, and we have some piety from previous life, some sukriti accumulated from purva sanskaras. So we say, oh God, do you exist? Are you really there? It seems like you are. I have some idea you're there. I'm really feeling empty. Something's wrong with my life. Something's missing. And I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is exactly. I feel uneasy about myself, about the world, about the future. And I have money, I have position, I have education, so many things where there's something missing. Even I have friends, lovers, acquaintances. It's like this. And each one finds that vacuum in their own life somehow, somewhere, if they're fortunate. And they may turn to God. And then that's the beginning of the search for self-discovery, journey of self-discovery, as Prabhupada's book is called. So that Lord that we turn to is in the heart, because he's there. The original, the Adi Guru, is in the heart. And Chaitya Guru is in the heart. The living, Chaitya means Chaitana, the living Guru, ever-living Guru. He never sleeps. We sleep, but he's awake. He's instructing, he's teaching. He's guiding. He has 24-hour classroom. It's a 24-hour classroom, 7 days a week, life after life after life after life. The teaching goes on. Super soul, the living guru, Chaitya Guru. He's living, his instructions are alive, but we're sleeping. The school is across the street, but we never enrolled. Oh, did you ever go to college? No. But there's one across the street. It's too much trouble to walk across the street. Acha. Okay, but now you're not very intelligent. So the Lord waits, then we turn to him, and then we realize that this Lord in our heart, when we're serious, he appears before us as a deity. Somehow we will be introduced to a deity. We will see a deity. We'll come to the either the form of the Lord or the form of the Lord's representative. Because the devotee is also the moving murti. As they said in Puri when... I forget who it was. Maybe King Prataparudra or someone. He said there's the moving... The stationary Brahman and the moving Brahman, something like this. He said that Jagannath is stationary Brahman and Lord Chaitanya is a moving Brahman. He's
Sachal.
Sachal
and...
Excuse me?
Daru
Brahman is that, but... Daru Brahman and whatever. So the idea is that the Lord appears either as a devotee or as his deity form. The devotee is also a deity form. He's Archamurti. He's a form of the Lord. And he's called Vartman Pradarshika Guru. They'll come and say, go that way. Go there. Oh, you're having trouble? Go to the Hare Krishna temple. Go here, go there. Points out the path. Then you meet the Shiksha Guru, then Diksha Guru, and like this. So this, the devotee worships the Lord of our heart. He accepts his devotion. The Lord of our heart appears before us in the form of the deity. The Lord's deity form is his direct manifestation to accept the devotee's offerings. To bestow mercy on living entities, the Supreme Lord appears in the material world in his deity form to give his devotees an opportunity to serve him. The Lord of the heart appears outside in the world as a transcendental deity form, because Lord is transcendental, spiritual, and our eyes and body and everything is material. So how can we see spirit with material faculties? So he assumes something we can touch, tangible form. We can touch and see and feel and hold and dress and have and remember the deity. But he's spiritualized, he's transcendental. Who can worship the deity? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, until one is fixed in the conviction that I belong to Krishna, Krishna is mine, one cannot worship Krishna. A devotee thinks, Krishna is my only self-interest, I belong to Krishna. Apart from Krishna, I have no interest in anything unrelated to Krishna. Those who have other interests can't attain Krishna nor understand what is the meaning to love Krishna. Krishna is called a transcendental autocrat. He's a totalitarian lover. Everything has to go for him. He's a very intolerant master. Oh, your love is displaced here and there and everywhere. Not one-pointed, ekantaki. You're not an ekantaki bhakta, ananya bhakta. You have bhakti. Oh, I have a bhakti for my wife, my kids, and this. This, hey, jao. Get out. So we may have some arrangements in this world, some affections and some duties and some connections due to our prabdha karma. But this is these are heavy statements, but this is actually the level that one has to come to. Until one is fixed in condition, Krishna mamata, Krishna is mine, and tadiyata. Tvadiyata, tadiyata, and mamata. Ta. Anya vilashi ta. The tendency to feel mamata, that Krishna is mine. And tvadiyata. That I am yours. I am Krishna's. Until one is fixed in that conviction, belief. Conviction means firm belief, strong belief, vishwas. That I belong to Krishna and Krishna is mine, one cannot worship Krishna. A devotee thinks Krishna is my only self-interest is Krishna. I belong to him. Apart from Krishna, I have no interest in anything unrelated to Krishna. It's nice to hear these words. Oh, it sounds good, but it's just a few things on my mind that don't allow me to quite embrace this idea fully. But it really sounds good. It sounds like a really good line. And I'll put it in my diary. And someday, somehow, in some lifetime, we may become true worshippers of Krishna, pure worshippers of Krishna. At least we can hear about the sadhya, the goal, the destination, the culmination, the right point, the right adjustment. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, religion is proper adjustment with the environment. Very interesting. We usually say duty, dharma, religion, dharma, duty. Religion is proper adjustment with the environment in relation to Krishna. So always adjusting. Well, there's so much non-Krishna, there's so much some Krishna. So constantly adjusting. Proper adjustment of the environment with Krishna. Those who have other interests can't attain Krishna nor understand what it means to love Krishna. Obviously, if you're interested in this, that, and the other thing, Krishna is all-encompassing. Krishna is a 24-hour interest. 24-hour supermarket. 24-hour shopping. Everything has to go there. So this is the section called Who Can Worship Krishna? What we're doing is some kind of charade. Some kind of charade means, what does charade mean? Like imitation or something? Charade? play acting. See, look, Mom, I'm ringing the bell. Look, Mom, I'm throwing the incense. Four times to the feet, two times to the waist, three times, whatever it is, three times to the head, seven times to the body, one, ding, 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 two, ding, 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 three. Was that seven or six? Maybe it was eight. I don't know, maybe it was nine. God, it's hard. I can't count to seven. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So it's like very mechanical and just vitty, and it's, you know, going in the right direction, but we should be boosted and pushed towards this conception changes direction. Change your conception, change your direction. What is the most essential part of deity worship? Kali is the age of Sankirtan Yajna. Archan Marg, or deity worship, was the prescribed method of God realization in the previous age of Dwapara. Was it Krite Yadayato Vishnam, Chaityam Yajato Makai, Dwaparayam Paryacharyayam, Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. In Kali Yuga is Hari Kirtan. This is the age of chanting the holy name of Krishna to attain spiritual perfection and love of God. Jiva Goswami says in Krama Sandarbha, the most essential part of deity worship is constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So it even goes on to say in Bhakti Sandarbha that when one is doing deity worship, if it's not accompanied by the chanting of Hare Krishna, then it's bekar, bogus, nakli. It's not acceptable. Unacceptable. Application? Reject it. Try again, Jack. The benefits of deity worship and the effects of deity worship. Now, whatever kind of thing we're doing that we call deity worship, there are some benefits. I told you the high-end thing, that pack up everything else and just worship the deity. Goodbye, mother, father, husband, brother, everybody. My only interest is Krishna, and you just go get a job. Radha, go get a job. You can go get a job. Go dance in Bombay. Radhe, Radhe. The benefits of deity worship. The procedures of deity worship help to restrict the spirit of enjoyment. By bathing, dressing, and feeding the Lord's deity, devotees easily develop a personal conception of God. Right? By bathing and feeding and dressing, oh, he's a person. Oh, yeah, his clothes are looking old. I just bought a new dress, but he hasn't had a new clothes for 2 years. Oh, he's a person too. He should get something. Oh, and when I went to my friend's house, oh, you have an air conditioner, what about Krishna? And it struck them. They just never thought like that. They were not demons or bad people, and they're not poor either. I said, Krishna doesn't get an air conditioner? And they said, we never thought about it. We'll get it tomorrow. And they did that. They went out and got an air conditioner, a split air conditioner. It was a small room. They put in one of those, whatever they call it, split thing or whatever. You know, hang on the wall type. Yes, and outside or inside. I don't know how would they work. But they got an air conditioner. Next day. Action City. You know? So, this is the point. So the devotee easily develops a personal conception of God, and he quickly becomes free from obstacles to the pure chanting of the holy name. So there's a relationship between the deity worship and the chanting of the holy name, because we think it's only sound vibration. We don't think the sound of Krishna's name is a person, and we don't think the murti of brass or marble is a person either. But as we serve the deity and cook for him and offer him, we start to think. He arranges that thinking, and he arranges that change of heart, that change of thinking. I am a person. I am the Supreme Person. You see me, you feel me. I'm smiling at you. I'm reciprocating with you. You feel it? You see it? You see me blink at you? I winked at you. Did you see that? Shyamasundar winked at me. He didn't wink at you. He winked at me. He was looking my way. He was looking right at me. You were there. He was looking this way. No! So it's individual reciprocation. So this will happen. Then that transposes or transfers into the holy name. Oh, this is not some dry word. Krishna's in this word also. Krishna's in this name. His name is Krishna. Navachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Binatvam Namana Binatvam. There's no difference between you and your name. Binatvam Nama Namano. So this is what happens. It will become free from the obstacles to the pure chanting of the holy name. It's very helpful. Householders worship the deity. It's a good way to fix the mind on Krishna. Because they're so busy, it's hard for them to sit down and meditate on Leela, this, that. But at least they can think, oh, we have the deity and it's just like this. And my wife made paratas this morning, potato paratas and some tomato chutney. And I think that Krishna liked it, because I did. It was really good. And I hope Krishna liked it. And then you're coming home and you see, oh, look, avocados. That'd be nice to offer to Krishna. Oh, I should buy these. And he started thinking of the family deity. It's a very nice. So this is a good way to fix the mind on Krishna. The proper worship brings peace, prosperity, and health to the family. If you're worshiping the deity, because the deity worship is based on punctuality, and it's based on cleanliness and simplicity. So when the deity's in the center of your house, oh, we have to get up and worship the deities. Oh, we have to take a bath. Oh, we have to do this. So we become clean, which means you become healthy. Because one of the causes of sickness is uncleanliness and unregulation. You become sick because of irregulation or eating impure foodstuffs. When you start cooking for the deities, you find out about how to do it. Oh, you have to wash all the... You have to wash the dry fruit? I never heard of that. I just take it out of the can and eat it. Start washing it and see how dirty it is. Start washing your raisins and dry fruit and see how much crap comes out. And say, I've been eating that all this year? And my mother fed me that? And my grandmother fed my mother? Because they never were a pujari in an ISKCON temple trained by Prabhupada. Prabhupada's law of the kitchen was, because I was trained by Prabhupada's disciples. I'm Prabhupada's disciple. I was in Parampara. He didn't train me, but he trained the guy that trained me. Prabhupada's law was, everything in the kitchen gets washed except the flour. Atta, you call it atta. Basin atta, gehon atta. Everything. The pots, the pans, the floor, the stove. You don't wash the milk. You boil the milk. That's how you wash it. You boil 3 times. One time, foam comes up, psh, then settles down. Another time, psh, foam comes up, settles. Another time, foam comes up. 3 times boiling the milk. That's how you wash the milk. Wash all the dry fruit. Oh, what is this? It's vacuum packed. Freeze dried, vacuum packed. Just that other damn thing. And then you put it in the water. It's vacuum packed by the guy picking his nose before he vacuum packed it. And he put a few boogs inside. A few boogers for some extra flavoring. Yeah, you think all the guys that are vacuum packing it are wearing sterilized surgical gloves and with Jane mask over their mouth and their ponytails are pinned back like this with a bathing cap on their head and they're wearing a sterilized radioactive uniform. You know, they're just peeing if you know what's going on in these massive food things, they pee in those things and in the vats and they pass in everything because they're fried with the boss. And then you're saying, oh, open the nuts. Well, here, kid. So muchi. So, oh, we have to go home and offer this. We can't just blog out in the car. So then everything becomes clean. As it says, it's a fact. When you're worshipping a deity, the grihasthas, they'll become peaceful, prosperity, and health to the family. Deity worship allows the devotee to see their family, home, and wealth as the Lord's or the deity's property. When you're doing deity worship, you start to understand that he's the proprietor. My family, I'm Krishnadasa, and my wife is Krishnadasi. She's not my concubine or bed partner or whatever. You know, it's kind of a bad joke. One of these Indian guys told me one time, he said, you know why the Lord gave women legs? This is an Indian guy, right? He said, he gave them legs so they can walk from the bedroom to the kitchen. It's really, this is a chauvinistic, demoniac joke. But that kind of idea, which is gross, it's really gross, that's all the woman is, a bed partner and a cook, is like a mentality is all around the world. It's the exploiting mentality. And so even if devotees get married and they have, oh, my wife's going to serve me and do this and that. No, wait a minute. Hey, forget it, Jack. You're Krishnadasa, she's Krishnadasi. Both together you're going to serve the deity. And that's how you're going to get liberated from the bodily concept of life. And that's how you're going to become peaceful and prosperous and healthy. Because Krishna will be the center. So this is the point. And then deity worship allows the devotees to see their family, their home, and their wealth as the Lord of the deity's property. Oh, let's buy a new couch, let's buy this. Wait a minute, what about the deities? You know, we have all this money, we haven't bought them anything. Or let's, you know, do we need to, is this a proper use of the money? This is Krishna's money, can we just throw it here and there like this and that? This is the best use of his money. He's the proprietor. He's giving us the ability and intelligence to make money. So it belongs to him. It's his house. I'm your wife. No, I'm your wife, okay, yeah. But you and I are cooperating to serve the deity. He said, well, it's his house and it's his money. It's not my money. I'm the wife. I have my job. You're the husband. You have your job. It's my money. No, it's his money. Everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Very nice point. So this is what happens when you do deity worship in a serious way. You can actually start to see your family, your home, and your wealth as the deity's property. As servants of the family deity, devotees should love the deity as if he were a friend or a family member. You give so much pampering to the little junior, oh, my baby, coochie-coo, boo-boo-boo. And then, you know, change his clothes 10 times a day, and the deity stand there with cobwebs on his face, and, you know, and his flute is stuck, you know, with mouse stool on his hands or stuff. And, you know. So it's a family, you know, love the Lord, you know, as you love yourself. Jesus says something like that, isn't it? Something, whatever you do to the least, he said in the Bible, he said, whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me. So mosquitoes flying, oh! You know, you kill the mosquito. Whatever you do to the least of my creation, a minuscule, insignificant mosquito, you kill him, then you're killing God. God's in his heart. It's murder. It's hatyam, jiva hatya. It's murder, jiva hatya. Jiva is the same size. Is a jiva and a mosquito smaller than a jiva and the elephant? Yes or no?
No.
Say it, jiva hatyam. You never heard this term. Go hatya, jiva hatya. Murder is against the law of God in most states. So this is nice. We see that deity is a friend, a family member. Now this is the last effects of deity worship. Deity worship has these 4 effects. It purifies the heart and elevates the consciousness. That's one effect. Deity worship increases the devotee's desire to hear about Krishna. Because we're worshiping deity Krishna. Well, who is Krishna? What is he like? Does he have pets? Does he have any pets? Does he have any favorite pets? Does he have friends? What does he wear? What are his clothes? What does he like to eat? I like pizza and ice cream. Does he eat that too? Does he eat ravioli and spaghetti and tacos and enchilada and, you know, does he eat all these things? Does he eat rajma and dokla? Let me find out. Well, what does Krishna eat? Oh, look at Govinda Lila Marita. Look at Krishna Bhavana Marita. This is what Radharani cooks for him. This is what he eats. Hey, there's no pizza. There's no ice cream? No. Oh, not even rajma. Oh, my God, I'm not going there. Hey, take this deity back to Vrindavan. This guy, not worship this Krishna. Put up Mussolini or something. He eats pizza. So that increases the desire to hear about Krishna, and it bestows the ability to concentrate the mind, which increases the capacity to hear. So we're worshiping this person. Well, who am I worshiping? Who am I twirling these incense for and offering this ghee-lam and this food every day? Tulsi leaf. Who is this Krishna? Where does he live? Who are his friends? What is he like? What is he not like? What does he act like? What are his pastimes? And then, as you're doing deity worship, your mind has to be fixed there. You're looking at him. You have to put your other thoughts aside and be concentrated. So by practicing deity worship, you increase your powers of concentration and you become purified, and it increases your ability to hear and read Shastra, because people say, oh, when I read Maharaj, I space out, I fall asleep, I don't have any interest. So deity worship brings about this. So increases the desire to hear along with the ability to concentrate the mind, which increases our... If your mind is concentrated, you can hear. But if you're thinking about, I got to get out of here, and this guy keeps talking... Now the 4th thing, and that was 2 and 3 or whatever, the tending to the deity naturally awakens an awareness of Krishna's personality. As the devotee becomes increasingly attached to the person they are worshipping, they want to know more about him. Consequently, they want to hear about Krishna's pastimes and learn how to serve Krishna better. Deity worship is a means to fix the mind on the form of Krishna, which, if done regularly, helps to subdue and direct the restless mind. So when you're worshipping, just like you're worshipping, you get married and you start, in one way, worshipping your husband, a wife. So she's living with the guru. Guru's the mother-in-law. So she makes something, and the mother-in-law says, not like that. He doesn't like it like that. No, but this is how I learned how to make rajma. No, no, you have to put onions in it. It's really good with onions. Oh, but I never ate onions. No, no, you like this. So the mother-in-law will teach you how to perform your service better to please her son, who is your husband. And you'll be eager to learn because you want to please your husband, because he's the object of your worship in the marriage life or the wife. So when Krishna is our object of worship, we're eager to learn how to please him. And so then you inquire from the advanced devotees that are engaged in deity worship, how to please Krishna. What is Krishna like? Can we offer plastic things to the deity? Anyway, so many questions we have when we start worshiping the deity. Can we offer synthetic clothes to the deities? No, Prabhupada says it should always be silk. It should always be silk clothes. And if you can't afford, then just offer one silk or maybe satin. But the rayon and dacron is not nice. We shouldn't offer that. And so we learn what kind of clothes he wears. And then we start to get more and more connected and attached to Krishna as a person as we hear more and more about him. So these are some of the benefits and effects and some points in deity worship that anyone can do immediately. You can worship Krishna in your mind. There's no restriction. If you want to worship deities, then you may have to have some mantras and be initiated as a Brahmin. And that will come in due course of time. And if you're already engaged, then you can try to apply some of these teachings to improve your standard of deity worship and your conception of the deity. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any questions? Deepak?
Maharaji, there is a thing which I want to know about. There are two practices, like we were earlier putting our deities to sleep, practically like putting them to rest whenever we are traveling with them or even at home. But some senior devotees in the temple, they're also advising us that is more of a Vaikuntha Bhav to actually putting the lordships to sleep. He says the more Madhurya Bhav would be just placing their beds and reciting some mantras to ask them to take rest and not actually putting them to sleep. Just because that is the time of their rasa lila and their pastimes. So
well, these are all fine points, and a lot of these things aren't really mentioned by detail in Shastra. Just some advice that Prabhupada's given or whatnot. And it's all different levels about offenses and different deities or different standards of behavior. And Radha Krishna is one standard, Jagannath's another, and Gaur-Nitai is another. And generally, Prabhupada wanted householders to worship Gaur-Nitai because they're a little bit more merciful. They do consider offenses because it's very clear to see the case of Devananda Pandit and the students of Navadvip and then Nityananda and Shivananda. There are many cases where Gaur-Nitai are taking offenses. Sometimes people say that Gaur-Nitai don't take any offenses, but that's not very clear. And if you read Chaitanya Bhaga, it's very clear they did take offenses. And Chaitanya was very offended by Jagai and wanted to kill him. And then this Devananda Pandit, he also took offense with him. And not until he got the mercy of a great Shri Pandit did he forgive him. And Mukunda Das, there's many instances, Nityananda. And then Lord Chaitanya was offended by Satchimata. He says, you made an offense to Advaita Charya. So I'm giving praying to everyone, but I'm not going to give it to you. It's right there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know this. So until there was a kirtan and she took the dust from Advaita's feet and then got his forgiveness, then Lord Chaitanya was still praying upon his own mother. So it's not a fact when they say Gaur-Nitai don't take any offenses. People propagate this, you must have heard. So we have to be careful, because they do take, although they're very merciful. The most merciful forms of the Lord. So that's because Grihasthas have a contamination period and they travel and business and this and that. So Gaur-Nitai are a little bit easier. But most Grihasthas, especially in India, unlike the West, they usually have Radha and Krishna deities. And they prefer them for some reason or other. It's due to previous samskaras or whatever. They're connected like that. They like those deities. So, as my advice, I'm quite strict on this thing, this deity worship. My idea is that until one is older, until one has actually crossed, like vanaprast age, man and woman have become like 55 or so, then they should begin deity worship. Until then, they should have pictures. And then when they get to that point, their basic external life is slowed down to such an extent that the deity can become their friend and their everything. So then wherever they go, the deity goes. And there's no question of breaking in the relationship. Just like you don't put your baby to sleep. Well, we're going away for 3 days. We're going to Jagannath Puri, whatever. So baby, go to sleep. I'll wake you up when I get back. Now here's a bowl of dried fruits. And here's your bed, and do your Vaikuntha thing, or do your Madhurya thing, do whatever you want. Can you imagine leaving your baby for 2 weeks? So that means that because the baby, you think the baby's a person, the baby's demanding. So my idea is that puja means that, that this is really the right way of puja. That either if you're going, then the seva should go on. That's why he says it's perpetual. We read this verse that Krishna said to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, that when the seva starts, it's perpetual seva. You do your thing, whatever you have to do. You're contaminated or not, but the deity service doesn't break. It shouldn't break. Mother does it, grandmother does it. That's the advantage of joint families. If you have a joint family where everyone's surrendering kashipu, except you, then I wouldn't advise deity worship. There's many circumstances. Like someone asking about deity, I say, okay, when your wife's down, who's going to cook? Your husband knows how to cook? No. Who's going to feed the deities? I don't know. Then, okay, and that's just, you're disqualified. You know, in other words, deity's happiness, pleasure is first. So it has to go on full time. It's a constant thing. Nitya kritya. It's not like on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. My Madhurya Vaikuntha, to me, that's a secondary consideration.
How about a daily resting program at night? How it should be done?
Well, generally, Prabhupada, you know, he in the beginning there was no beds in any of the deities. We just did by mantra, and the deity stood up. And so even in Purpur and CC, and he said, gradually we'll be introducing actual beds. And even the brass deities were like this big, because I was doing it in Berkeley, Radha Gokulananda. They were about 15 kilos each. They were heavy. I mean, solid deities, like this big, with the base. The base was this high, brass. Big deity. Like Radha Madhav, the same size, same size. Radha Madhav, Gopi Janavallabha in Boston and Berkeley, San Francisco. Same murti maker. Around the same time they were installed. Well, Berkeley was 68 or something. Mayapur was 71 or whatever, like this. It's similar. Very heavy, stout, strong, thick type, big on the leg. So we carry them, lie them in the bed, put the covers on, mantras and all these things. So beds were there, sturdy, strong beds were there. So that's the high end of the worship. But even in the beginning, when we worshipped in the official temples, they were just standing there, and we say, Agacham Shayam Stanam Priya Visakesham Divya Vishakesham. We chant some mantra, and we just mentally offer them rest. So many things can be offered in the rest also, in the resting time.
Should be done,
if we have a bed. No, I'm saying that's my idea, frankly speaking, about deity worship. When people are when people are newly married, I guess I discussed this with a lot of Delhi people, Bombay people weren't here very much. I say when you're newly married, the husband's a deity, the wife's a deity, and the children are the deity. I mean, frankly speaking, there's so much engagement, there's really no time for proper deity worship. So in that circumstance, there should be some altar on top of the kitchen, on the top of the refrigerator, or kitchen, those kind of kitchen altars like your mother had or your grandmother had, just some picture. And you have a plate, and you put an offering there, ding, ding, some tulsi, Hare Krishna, and 5 minutes later you take the offering. But when you get all this formal thing, it's become inattentive, you actually become offensive, in my conception. Prabhupada wanted every grihastha to worship deities, but Gauranitai deities. And then he said you can put them to rest. You know, there's many letters about, okay, you're coming to Mayapur festival, okay, you can put your Gauranitai deities to rest. But Radha and Krishna didn't like that very much. Because there are Ishtadev as our Gauranitai, and standards are a little higher. So my idea is when the kids, when you're Vanaprastha, the kids are gone and married, or the son's home and married, whatever. And then you have free time, retired, semi-retired. Then you can do the beds and this and that. But if you have deity worship and you're young, before that should be the minimal thing. Minimal. If you've already started, I personally am not into it at all. If I have my personal say. You just have pictures and there should be some focus in your house of photographs or pictures. And when you go somewhere and take the photographs with you, just carry on. You have a little 8x10 picture of Radha Shyam and Gauranitai and Guru Parampara. Put them in your suitcase and go to the hotel and do puja. Keep going. Or just leave the pictures there. And the other thing is, if you have deities, you take a picture of the deities. Many people do that. They leave the deity in Vrindavan to be worshipped by some godbrother, and they take a photograph of the deity with them to Europe or wherever. And that then the tangible external puja, which they were always doing, that standard, it carries on in Vrindavan. They don't take their deity out. But there in Ireland, they have a photograph of their deity, and they're doing Manasi puja there, and maybe offering their food to the deity. That's often done. A photograph of the same deity. But their puja is being done. So my idea of deity worship is a little different, because there's so many difficulties come nowadays in these nuclear families where you don't have joint family. Who's going to do the cooking, this, that? There's so much, in other words, so much disturbance occurs in the pleasure of the deity, in the perpetual worship of the deity. It becomes up and down, like it's a bell curve. It's not steady. So why cause so much inconvenience to the deity? Are you having a deity for your convenience or for his convenience? The deity is for his convenience. Krishna's for him. It's not, well, everyone has a deity, I want a deity. Keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. Everyone has a television, I want a television. Is it really a deity worship? Actually, that's why it says a deity is a manifest from the super soul. You read? I read it. When you're so much connected with Krishna in your heart, you say, Krishna, I really want to worship you in the form, but I want you to come to me. That's how I had this bhava in 1988 when I was in Vrindavan, in 87. Then I moved to Prabhupada's room and I said, Krishna, I don't want to buy a deity. I don't want to go to Govardhan and pick a deity. I worshiped deities in 77-81 in a temple and the Sankirtan, and you have to come to me. If you come to me, then I'll understand that you want me to worship you. And if you come to me, then it's like we're married. Full-on worship. I'm not going to ever give up or have anybody else do. You have to come to me. And so I would go to the Yamuna every day to bathe when I was in Sevakunj in Prabhupada's rooms. And I would look around. In the sand, I would say, well, maybe you're in the Yamuna. Maybe Yamuna will arrange to give it to me. But, you know, man, you can act a little bit also. So I put my hand in the sand a little bit, and sometimes I find Hanuman deity, clay throwaway type things, or Saraswati. I find Hanuman, say, oh, Jai Hanuman, Vrajangabad, Haribo, and throw them back in the Yamuna, or find Saraswati or Ganesh. You know, I find different deities, and I'd say, very nice, that's nice, but it's not what I had in mind. I didn't know what I had in mind, but something Radha and Krishna was my idea. That's my general idea. Then one day, you know, someone came, my godbrother came, Dadiwala Parvat Maharaj, and he had this Govardhan Shila, which he had gotten from Gadadhar Das Baba, who got the deity, who received the deity from Radhadamodar or Mandir. And Giriraj was there for 200 years at the feet of Lita Sakhi, with about two or three Shilas and a little brass asana. Now there's about, you know, two left or something. And so the Mahant there gave him to Gadadhar Das Baba, and Parvat was staying in the rooms in 1986. He was serving Prabhupada or so, and then Gadadhar gave to him, and then he was going to Hardwar. Parvat, my godbrother, he said, look, he came one day, he said, do you want to worship Giriraj? I said, I don't know, I want to worship somebody. Some form of Krishna, I have some idea. And he said, well, you think about it, I have a Govardhan Shila, he used to be in a temple and all these things. I said, oh, Govardhan Shila. Well, I've been praying that Krishna would come and I could worship some form if he comes to me. Either your Bhav takes you to Krishna or Krishna comes to you or whatever. You go and pick one. It's not that it's better. It's nothing like this. But that's just my parameters that I set up on the marriage. The wife has to come walk in the door and say, I want to marry you. Okay, so now. So the deity has to come and say, I want you to worship. So he came and I said, well, yeah. Because in my mind I had some idea, you know, like this kind of guy, you know. Chibanga Lalitam. Because I worship Radha Krishna and Berkeley, Radha Gokulananda. So then I thought, let me think. And I was thinking. And then he came back in the evening time and he had all the paraphernalia. He said, so I bought a Giriraj. I said, but I didn't say yes or no. I said, I think about it, come back. No, you'll take him, you know. I said, okay, I'll take him. You know, it's like, you know, arranged. It's arranged marriage. Giriraj, Dharana Ki Jai. So I went in India, act like the Indians. So I moved to India and I got an arranged marriage. It's arranged by Parvat Swami, the matchmaker. He linked me up with this girl from the Gwal, you know, this guy from the Gwals, you know, this coward boy. So I married this coward boy, or he accepted me. And so I started like that. So then I said, okay, I guess this is what I was looking for. So I'm happy that somehow Giriraj is, I came to know later that this is a kind of the preferred deity for the renunciates, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was sending his sannyasis overseas, he sent them to Belgium, Germany, England, Luxembourg, Brussels, Burma. They were all over the place. Sometimes people think the Gaudiya Math never went anywhere, but they were everywhere. In the 20s and 30s, they were all over in Western countries. No one was in America. That was left for Prabhupada. Chayo. Srila Prabhupada ki. So when he sent them, he said, you take this one Govardhan Srila and take one Shalaga and one Gomati. So he gave them one Gomati Srila, you know, Dwarka Srila, and one Shalaga and one Giriraj. And that was he personally gave them the take to Burma and Luxembourg and Germany. And then you see in the Harmonist magazines, there's letters coming back from the sannyasis. We just met Adolf Hitler. I just met Herr Hitler. Herr Hitler was his brother or something like that. H-E-R-R, Herr Hitler. And he's a very nice person. Adolf Hitler is very interesting. Our Harmonist magazines, it's like BTG, from 1927, 1931, very interesting things. They were over there preaching and meeting all these big people. So, Hare Krishna, thank you everyone for coming for this 18th annual Avirbhav Tithi Mahotsav. On this day, it was actually Trayodasi, but because it's Sunday, I had the festival today. Tomorrow's the actual day. On Indira Trayodasi and Ashwin Maina, Krishna Paksha, Shrad Paksha, Krishna Paksha, and Indira Trayodasi, auspicious day, Giriraj came into my life to be worshipped by us. So this is 18 years he's tolerating me. So you've all assisted me in the puja and worship in a grand way, because I'm kind of an invalid in the cooking department. You know, even the worst of things that were made today, because there wasn't anything worse, everything was great, I couldn't have made anything. One item that was made today, I couldn't make. If I made a chapati, it would look like Brazil. Or if I really tried hard, it maybe looked like the subcontinent of India. Or Australia. Some would come out like Australia. My chapatis, and the shape. They're supposed to be round, I think. They're supposed to be like this. No? But it would be like, you know, Peru or Chile. Chile. Florida. More Florida. A lot of Florida chapatis I made. Florida's shaped like this. So, and fancy rice. I mean, all these things, I couldn't even imagine how they were made, half the things. Well, they're so tasty and so wonderful. I mean, it's all Krishna phala. It's all mixed with Krishna's saliva from his bimba fruit lips. But, so I'm very happy. Because Giriraj likes to eat, no doubt. Because the whole phenomenon, let's see, the whole tradition, rather, a custom or tradition of offering 56 preparations to any form of the Lord began with Giriraj. It began 5,000 years ago with Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba and this Govardhan Anukut festival, that was the beginning of Chapan Bhog. It was continued 4,500 years later by Madhavendra Puri. It was revitalized by Madhavendra Puri in the worship of Nathji. Nathji was lost in the bushes by Govardhan Hill. And then he was installed on top of Govardhan Hill, an elaborate festival. And every day, for so many years, different rich Brijvasis were taking turns to offer Chapan Bhog to Sri Nathji. Sri Nathji Maharaj ki.
Yeah.
Every day, Chapan Bhog. And now he's in the hands of the Vallabhacharyas. And every day for the last 450 years, he's been eating Chapan Bhog.
Yeah.
So at least one day we had like three Chapan Bhogs. We had three in one today. 56 times three. We had about 180 preparations or so. Do you feel it?
Yes.
You feel it? I don't know how I fit them in there. Somehow I fit in 180 preparations in there somewhere. I found, you know, it's like spiritual, you know, like lotus of Braj. Lotus of Braj sometimes closes, makes very small, make easy for Krishna to move one forest to another. And sometimes the lotus gets very big when Jatila is coming to look for Radharani. And she leaves from Yavatgram, and all of a sudden it's 3,000 miles from Yavatgram to Sevakunj. She's walking and walking and walking and walking. All of a sudden, the sun's coming up. Oh my God, the sun's coming up. I have to go back and milk the cows before they cry. And she runs back home. And then by that time, Radharani just jumped in bed before her. And who is my beti in the bed? Oh, you're here. Yeah, and she doesn't make any noise. Like, oh, you must. Gee, I thought you weren't here. How you got? Oh, I'm getting so old now. I don't know what's happening. So a brush can become very, very big or very, very small, depending on who's involved in a leela. So their stomachs are also in brudge. When you're in brudge, everything takes a brudge atmosphere. So your stomach is only two hands. And the yogi you give him food in two hands, and he takes one hand and distributes it to the animals. Then he eats one hand, which is half food, quarter water, quarter air. This is yogi.
Quarter?
Air. 25% air, 25% water, and this one palmful is half the stomach. This is like this. This is stomach. You have little hands. You have a little stomach. You have big hands. You have big stomach. Right? At least you can try to have. So today we had many hands. So many hands, you know, because Krishna is sarvato panipadam tat sarvato kshishiromakam. Krishna says in Gita, everywhere are my hands and legs, eyes and faces, sarvato panipadam, panipadam, hands, panipadam, legs. So today Krishna entered our stomachs and put all his hands there. So our stomachs became so many hands, so many big, expanded, so we could honor 180 preparations of Giriraj.
Wow.
This is called a chintya bhog. A chintya bhog, inconceivable bhog. Chintya bhog shakti. Inconceivable shakti, power of bhog, Krishna's prasada. So I hope that in the coming years that Giriraj will also continue the same standard of excellence as they advertise. And the prasada is too good.